I understand that Standard Imaging won Manufacturer of the Year in the small manufacturer division, and I was wondering if you could talk about that and tell me why you won.
I think I'll let Ray answer that because he was actually the one that filled out all of the application work and did the lion's share of that, so I'll turn it over to him.
This is Ray Riddle.
Riddle, yes. Okay. This was the third year that we applied for the award. And we had applied probably back, I have to look up the dates, but in the 90s. And then in about 2000, we reapplied. And I think with any process, you learn more and more about the process and really what they're looking at and what things are to be highlighted in the award application. So you know, our first application was just so-so. We were a small company then, probably 10, 15 employees. The next time we won a special award for product innovation, and one of the things about Standard Imaging is we make a lot of different products, but we don't make a lot of any particular product. So I think when they started to look at the innovative side of the business, it was pretty impressive to see the number of products that we had released over a short period of time, all in the area of medical physics. And then, a few years had passed and we decided that we'd become more of a mature company. We were supporting a lot of local companies like TomoTherapy, providing quality assurance instruments. And it just seemed to come together at that point. And again, I think the key was being more mature and really knowing what the judges were looking for at that point. I think if I go back on some of our other applications, they were probably far too technical. Mm-hmm. And they didn't make a good point about telling the story of Standard Imaging, and I think we accomplished that with the last application.
How long has Standard Imaging been around?
We incorporated in 89, and we really got going about 1991 with our first product, which was a brachytherapy wall chamber, which we licensed from Wharf.
Can you say what that is in layman's terms?
Yes. Brachytherapy is a type of radiation therapy that they do with, essentially it's like a radioactive seed about the size of a grain of rice, and sometimes these are very high dose rates and sometimes they're low dose rate. But when these first came out, they didn't have a good way of calibrating the seed to see how much radiation was being emitted from it. They had ways of doing it, but they're very cumbersome. And Dr. Addix at the medical physics department at that time developed a concept and a proof of principle of a well chamber, which essentially like a tin can, that kind of shape, and then you could put the grain of radioactive seed in the middle of the chamber, and this would be an accurate way of measuring the radiation given off by this.
What's it used for, those seeds?
For treating cancer. Uh-huh. So they one method that when we first started the business, high-dose rate brachytherapy was just coming on the scene, and it's a little, again, about the size of a grain of rice that's welded on the end of a very fine cable. And then that cable is run by a robot, which will put it into the patient through a catheter tube, mm-hmm. and treat them, and it will dwell for a certain amount of time, and then they'll take the radiation out. Oh. So it's treating the cancer from inside out versus external beam, where they're shooting you through the body to hit the tumor. This just treats it, and it's very local. It doesn't, blast through your body. It's all treating within millimeters.
What other things does Standard Imaging make? Excuse me.
We make other instrumentations that measure radiation, the external beam radiation that I was just talking about, and Ray mentioned TomoTherapy. That's a company that makes equipment for delivering the radiation. So our product line is centered around measuring the radiation that comes out of these machines. We're kind of the toolbox for the medical physicists that they're responsible for making sure that equipment is being run properly, that it's that the dose is hitting the right target at the right place at the right time. So we make both hardware and software products for making their job easier to do.
How did you come up with the name Standard Imaging?
Oh, there's a guy named Standard and a guy named Imaging. Oh, no, that's an old joke. We came out of a background, or I guess I specifically came out of a background where I was in medical imaging, uh-huh. and we made quality assurance tools for CT machines, MRI, ultrasound, things like that. So when we conceived this company, we thought we would be leveraging that expertise into an imaging field. We're specifically looking at making bone mineral phantoms that would work on a machine like GE Lunar here in town. They make a bone mineral machine.
What are bone mineral phantoms?
Oh, well, they're phantoms that under the X-ray beam act and look like a piece of bone, so that when you're in a bone mineral machine, they're trying to determine how much mineral content is in your bone. So people that, you know, have fractures because they're losing bone density, they can measure it and treat them accordingly.
It's kind of interesting, you know, we started out thinking we were going to be in that area, and in 15 years, we're now getting into the medical imaging area where we got a little sidetracked in the early years with brachytherapy and, you know, quality assurance instruments for radiation therapy. But now they're combining radiation therapy with real-time imaging. So you see us coming, you know, almost full circle to where we where we intended to be.
And that's what tomotherapy does, is
they combine imaging with therapy, right? And all of their competitors are doing the same thing.
Did you both start at the beginning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Correct.
What did you do before then?
I worked in a company that, again, did the medical imaging quality assurance. I worked there for 15 years in various capacities. And then I met Ray. At that time, he did some regulatory work for us at the previous business, and that's how we got acquainted. And then we have a third partner who is a professor at the university. And then
who's that?
Dr. Larry DeWerd.
How does
D-E, capital W-E-R-D. And he works in the medical physics department and runs a independent calibration laboratory for radiation, so that our instruments can be calibrated and then traceable to a government standard, NIST standard.
How big is the company now?
We have 46 employees currently.
And can you talk about annual sales? Or
We keep that private. Okay.
But they're good.
Can you say how much you've been growing?
We've probably averaged, 15% a year?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Typically, yeah.
Do you expect that to continue?
We have it forecast for this year, yes. So as for the foreseeable future.
Is the downturn in the economy affecting your business at all?
Not directly.
We haven't really seen that. I mean, we're aware and we're watching what's happening in the field. I think it's hit a lot more of the big radiation therapy machine manufacturers. And I'm not sure that their sales are down so much. It's just that due to the cost of the shipments are being delayed and the installation is being delayed. And, you know, for any of these big pieces of equipment, it often means that there has to be significant changes to the facility or bunkers built so they can shield. And I think, you know, if you read the press releases of the various players, it seems like, you know, it's delay of shipment. The backlog seems to be strong at this point, but, you know, who's to say a year from now?
Yeah, I think Tomo just came out yesterday saying that they're suffering from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that their shares were down.
And it hit Accuray also, who's another significant player in the field. I think, you know, the future for radiation therapy looks strong because they're finding more and more applications for it, whether it be in radiosurgery or just radiation therapy. But, you know, the cost of the machines is quite significant. I mean, you're talking $3 to $4 million after it's installed. So, and it's a time when cost containment and reimbursement really plays into, you know, the availability of equipment or the purchasing of some hospitals for the equipment.
Could you see yourselves being anywhere else in Wisconsin, or is this is Madison?
We prefer here. I mean, we've got a whole list of reasons why we like it here, and in particular, we've been in Middleton the whole time. This is our fourth location. We just built this facility a year ago. But I mentioned the calibration lab on campus. That's real vital to us. We're there every day with our instruments getting calibrated, and that's been kind of a cornerstone of our business, is having that link with the group.
I think I'd add on to that the fact that, you know, the University of Wisconsin Department of Medical Physics is one of the best in the country. And I may have this wrong, but I think it was the first Department of Medical Physics in the country.
Yes.
So having a, you know, we have a good relationship with the university. Having them close by is clearly an asset. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, last Friday, we hosted the annual tour of the grad students. They have typically 30 or 40 new grad students every year, and then once a year they get together a little yellow school bus and they take them on a tour of the local medical physics companies, Tomotherapy, Standard Imaging, Philips is another company.
Lunar.
So this way we are, you know, we're meeting our future customers, you know, mm-hmm. and we feed them lunch and they hopefully remember us, you know, and when they're out in the field in 3 years.
Do you hire a lot from the university?
From the university, not so much from the medical physics department, but certainly a lot of UW grads, mm-hmm. we do.
And you started out in Middleton?
Mm-hmm. Yes, right, yeah.
And in, was it a an incubator that you started in? Or?
It was an old dentist's office.
That was a move up from the garage in the basements of all the founders.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it was we rented out three rooms. It was a dental lab, essentially. So, but it worked fine for the early days.
And you've been nominated also for an environmental award as well?
Yes, we submitted an application. We were encouraged to apply for it, given some of the things that we had done with this new facility from an environmental standpoint. And I think that award is given in May
by
Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Oh. But we also, you know, have been the recipient of a number of Governor's New Product Awards, and we just last Thursday won the Governor's New Product Award for the tomotherapy electrometer and scanner system that we make for Tomotherapy's customers. So that was another good win for the company. But going back to the environmental one, I think, you know, Ed and we have another engineer, our head of engineering, Dan Schmidt, have been big proponents of geothermal. And, you know, due to their pushing, we put it in this new building, and Ed can add more details on that.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, I guess the benefit is we have no gas bills here because all of the heating and cooling is provided through this geothermal system, which is a network of pipes that are filled with like an antifreeze fluid, and we have 54 wells that are drilled underneath our parking lot, which you can't see, that go 150 feet deep, and these pipes go down and come back, and they're filled with fluid. And it's all a closed system, and it all comes into the building, and the liquid goes through the building and then goes back down underground.
Wow.
And so we have like 15 different zones in the building, and those have heat pumps in them which turn that into cooling or heating as, you know, we have conventional thermostat, conventional blowing system, but it works kind of like a freezer or an air conditioner where, you know, it's blowing cold out of one end and it's blowing heat out of the other end, and you're working with compressed gases, and it's a very efficient system.
How many square feet is the building?
27,000 square feet.
What do you think your gas bill would be if you didn't have this?
I couldn't tell you exactly. We did a calculation when we were designing the building, and we estimated, and this was 3 years ago now, that if we put in this geothermal system and it cost us an extra $100,000, that we could pay it off in about 8 to 10 years.
I think it's going to be shorter than that given what's happened with energy. And
right.
The Earth is a constant cool temperature. Can you explain how you turn that into heat?
You would probably want an engineer to explain it really technically, but what it's really doing is you're taking, it's just a couple degrees differential from that liquid. So like when you're turning it into air conditioning, okay, it comes in at 55, you're drawing that coolness out of it, and when it goes back into the earth, it's going back in at 57 or 58 degrees, and then it's getting recooled again. So it's just taking a few degrees differential compressing gases and creating more cooling or more heating from it.
But if you start with a cold temperature, mm-hmm. how do you get
the heat
warm
out
temperature?
Of it? Yeah, it's the other way around. You're pulling heat out of it, and like in the winter when the winter is first starting, it's coming out of the ground, and it could be 70 degrees at that point. Right. And by the time it goes back into the ground, it's 65 degrees or something like that. So it's pulling heat out of that, and then it goes back in the earth and either gets warmed up or cooled. In the winter, that liquid can be below freezing, because we're just drawing heat out of it, and then it goes back down the ground, warms up a little bit, and then we draw the heat out of it a little more.
Well, now you have that in your home also, and so does Dan,
right,
who I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
You've had it for a couple of years.
Yep.
Dan's had it for many at
this
point.
Yeah, he's had it 8 years, it is. Right.
And it usually takes 8 years or so to pay it off?
Yeah, it can be 8 to 10 is kind of a rough number, depending on...
Will it have a widespread application in residences?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think where you're seeing it mostly is larger building schools. I don't know if it's Verona or Fitchburg, they have some of their newer schools all have it. I believe Epic has it in their whole facility out in Verona. So you see it a lot in schools and larger buildings.
What's next for Standard Imaging?
What's next?
I think one of the things that we look towards the future is we're in this transformation from being a hardware company making things you can hold in your hand to a lot more quality assurance software. And if you look at what we're developing right now that's in the pipe, I'd say half of our major products are software-based products. So, looking forward, I can see that trend continuing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, our strength will always be as a friend to the medical physicist, so I can't see a lot of deviation in our direction. I know that Ed Larry and I have talked at times about trying to take our core products and expand more into the diagnostic imaging, and that goes back to our standard imaging name. But
yeah, and there's other markets that we can leverage our current technology into. It's using a lot of the same expertise that we have. It's another related field called health physics, and health physics is outside of the medical. Typically, it's like nuclear power plants and anything that has to do with radiation, radon measuring, anything where you're measuring environmental radiation, our instrumentation can be used to measure that as well.
Are your sales mostly domestic, or do you sell abroad at all?
It's all around the world, yeah.
So is the sales abroad, because of the dollar decline, has that been pretty good for the company?
It hasn't been outstanding. We thought it would be better,
because
in Europe they should be able to get a lot for their dollar right now, and it hasn't been as, I guess, stark a change as what we would have hoped for. But it hasn't been bad. It just.
Who are your competitors?
We have such a wide variety of products, it kind of goes by product category, but probably our biggest competitors in general are two companies out of Germany.
Oh.
And one of them is called PTW, and they've been around since the early 1920s, I believe. I mean, they go way back to almost the days of Rankin and made some of the earliest instrumentation. And so they're well established and a strong company. It's a very, very good competitor. And this other one is a newer competitor. They're called IBA now, and they're very large. They're a publicly traded company, and they have major products such as a proton radiation machine, which competes with all of the treatment machines that are out there now. It's much more expensive, but a very innovative technology that could, change a lot of the way we're doing treatment.
But in this country, not?
In this country, we have a couple strong competitors, and again, that's more maybe for a certain part of our product line. A company in Florida called Sun Nuclear is a very, very good competitor, and we do battle with them all the time, but we're... we have kind of our niche, they have theirs, but we do cross over.
anything else you can think to tell me about your company?
Well, I guess, you know, in general, we have a terrific bunch of employees here. We have many of the employees that we've had, you know, have just, all of them have stayed with us. We have very little turnover, probably less than 5% overall. You know, we feel we have a very, very good culture here. We do a lot together for our with our employees. We have lots of cookouts in the backyard with the brats, and we have a lot of parties we do. So we try to really work with that, and I think that's helped us.
And you'll be 20 years old next year?
Officially.
Officially, yeah.
Right. The first couple of years were, you know, more of the garage part of the business, but yeah, on paper it'll be 20 years.
And it's interesting to think they've all been in Middleton, and you know, it's always been one of our goals is to be a good neighbor in Middleton. And you know, we do a lot of fundraising for probably 50 organizations, but the focus is for the American Cancer Society because it's so close to the heart of our business. Mm-hmm. And we have an annual golf outing where it typically raises $15,000-$16,000 for that group, and we have that coming up in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, all the foursomes are filled now, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think we all went into this, and it's been driven by Ed, that you know we wanted to be a certain type of company, and we wanted to make good product, and we wanted to be you know good corporate citizens. And I think our track record with you know the business and the awards that we won kind of reflect that. And yeah, I'm proud of what we've done, and I know Ed is, and I know if Larry were here, he'd say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in our break room, we have one wall is our awards wall, so we have all of our new governor product awards and our
export award.
We received we're the smallest company to receive export award in 1994.
I think we're the smallest company yet to ever won the President's Export Award for Export Excellence. It's funny when you looked at you know Ed's previous comment about the export side. Our exports tend to fluctuate quite a bit. In the early days they were we had a lot of our sales were export, and it's cyclical.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But yeah, we were close to half of our business at one point.
It was the nature of the business and the products at that point. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, brachytherapy was well adopted in Europe. And
yeah.
How do you spell brachy?
B-R-A-C-H-Y, therapy. Brachytherapy. Brachy is Greek for close, so you're putting the radiation close to the tumor. That's the idea.
Okay.
So, okay, I hope that gives you what you're...
Yeah, thank you.